You're listening to Ian Stone's Comedy Breakfast, the podcast edition. I'm here on Love Sport Radio every weekday morning at 6:30. This morning, I was joined by the former Palace and Charlton midfielder, Paul Mortimer. All right, Man City won the title. It was great and everything.
Yeah.
It wasn't really a day of tension. There were about half a minute. I was watching at home.
Yeah.
And there was half a minute when Glenn Murray scored and Liverpool already taken the lead. And you went,
yeah,
surely not. But City just, it sort of slapped. It was like a slap in the face for City.
Yeah.
And they went, oh, we better wake up and do what we need to do.
I mean, we all hoped there'd be tension. We all hoped it'd go into the second half of the games. But, you know, it just was never going to happen. Not with Man City, are just too good. I mean, great. Great for us neutrals that Brighton scored first and Liverpool scored first. Great. Brilliant. But it's Man City. They've been the best team.
They have been fantastic. The Wolves fans were spreading fake goal rumours at Anfield. The weird thing is that my son said to me at half-time, you know what the Wolves fans should do? They should spread fake goal rumours at Anfield. They should start a little cheer. And then I'm looking on social media and I said to him, they already have. They've
What's
been
wrong
doing
with your
it.
Boy? What's wrong with these people?
Well, I think it's just to wind up the Scousers a little bit. It's quite funny. And that was basically the thinking behind it.
Oh.
And they were also singing Raheem Sterling, he's top of the league, which didn't please them at Anfield at all.
I don't
as
think
you
it
can
would.
Imagine. I mean, listen, in the end, and Dom, who's a part of the production staff today, was saying there is a school of thought to say they were 7 points clear. You should never lose a league from 7 points clear. But you can easily flip it around and say they got 97 points.
Yeah.
97 points. This is a fantastic team that pushed an amazing team all the way to the line. And as a consolation, they got the Champions League final.
But listen, drawing at Leicester, drawing against Leicester was the one, because Man City lost, I think, that weekend. And if they'd won, they'd have been able to compound and underline the lead they had.
But they would have been 10 points clear, wouldn't
they? That would
have
made a huge difference. But you know what? you can't. It's so, I feel for them, because in any other year, they'd have won it.
They won nine games. They won nine games in a row at the end there. I mean, it's not like they bottled it.
They won one. They lost one game. You cannot. I mean,
to the eventual champion
in any given season. Okay, if Arsenal were told last, you know, start of next season, you're only going to lose one game. You'd be thinking, we are going to win the title. We're going to win the title. How can you lose one game and not win the title?
Oddly enough, in the Women's Super League as well, same thing happened. Man City lost one game.
Yeah.
Which was yesterday, wasn't
it? Right.
Against Arsenal.
Mm-hmm.
And or Saturday was against Arsenal, and they also lost the title. But in the end, watching City yesterday, they deserve it. They're a fantastic football team. They've got amazing players and great management and a great structure and a great togetherness. And when they went 1-0 down yesterday, I never really doubted. I thought they weren't playing particularly well, but they suddenly, like I say, like a slap in the face, they suddenly went, oh, wake up.
They have too much quality. And the thing about it is, they have creativity coming from all over the pitch. They have goals coming from all over the pitch. And when you've got those two, you know, a bit of magic from one player will make a difference. One player. I mean, I saw Mahrez's goal. Nothing, really.
It's a beautiful goal.
You know, but that's what I'm trying to say. That one bit of quality,
yeah,
you know, from one player. Sterling was pretty quiet on the day. Someone else steps up. That's what they've got. And it was brilliant to watch.
Now, look, right through the morning, we're going to be going through the Premier League season. We're going to be analysing, you know, what sort of season each of the teams had.
Mm.
We're also, by the way, asking for you three word descriptions of your team's season. Okay, and I'm looking forward to seeing the Manchester United ones. And keep it non-sweary, because I can't read them out, unfortunately, right? If it's just three swear words. I mean, we get the point, and I absolutely understand why you would do that. But yeah, three-word descriptions of your team's seasons at Love Sport Radio.
Love Sport.
Paul, you've got some stats in front of you there. Manchester City stats. Just give us a couple of highlights.
Yes, 14 consecutive Premier League wins for Man City, the longest run of victories by any team to end a top-flight season.
Yeah,
wow.
Thoroughbreds. They just put the foot down and off they went. And they were tough games as well.
Yeah.
I mean, United away, I know they're not great, but that's never an easy game for City. Well, there was a 6-1, but there have been a few, but not many.
Yeah.
Burnley away is a tough game. Leicester at home was an unbelievably tough game.
But they had to deal with them. I mean, the stat that gets me, though, City's final 11 league goals of the season were scored by 10 different players. That's the thing for me. That's what worries me for other teams. They can score from absolutely everywhere. They can. I mean, 10 different players.
True.
And these are games that counted, by the way. You know, these aren't mid-season games with nothing on them. The last 10 games of the season are huge, especially when, for a majority of them, Liverpool were playing first.
Yeah.
So they went into these games having to win. Absolutely brilliant, I've got to say. And yesterday was the only time that Man City came from behind to win in the Premier League this season.
Yeah, because they didn't go behind that often, did they? We know how good City are. I'm looking at some of the other one. They were behind for a total of 132 minutes in the league. I mean,
that's absolutely incredible.
Bit ridiculous yesterday. They also back-to-back titles as well, which has not happened for what, 9 or 10 years.
Yeah, it's a difficult thing to do. You don't really see that too often. No, but I mean, look.
It's happened more. I mean, I was hearing a stat, right? It's happened more recently. There's been a couple of occasions in the last 20, 25 years when it's happened. United have won back-to-back titles a couple of times. Chelsea, I think, won back-to-back titles as
Mourinho,
well, didn't they? Under Mourinho.
Yeah.
Arsenal never managed it. It's not an easy thing to do. And it didn't happen very much before the Premier League formed.
No, we
know there's all that money coagulating at the top of the Premier League, but it's still an incredible achievement.
Well, I think, it's the competition as well. I mean, Liverpool were brilliant, been brilliant all season, pushed them the whole way. And Guardiola actually admitted, I don't think we'd have won it without Liverpool being there, pushing us, making it difficult for us, making them have to improve week on week. So as much as we talk about Man City, the more we do, the more you kind of feel a bit for Liverpool as well.
You've got to talk about Liverpool. You know? And I think Klopp made it right. And I think they both acknowledged it. That, like you say, Man City got 98 points because Liverpool had got 97. There is no way that either of them would have those sort of points. This sort of feels like a Messi and Ronaldo thing going on.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
A little bit. Just by the way, I was looking at the final Premier League table. Huddersfield, who were relegated, made £93.6 million last year from
the
Premier League. They get an equal share of 79.4, which is just for playing in the Premier League.
Yeah.
And they get place money. £38.6 million for top place, £1.9 million for the bottom place. Still, an enormous amount of money.
It's
really
absolutely incredible.
Puts them at a big advantage. I mean, there's parachute payments as well.
Yeah.
Puts those teams at a big advantage for coming back up.
Depending on what the clubs do with it. I mean, if you take, I suppose, Blackpool, for example, where the owners didn't invest the money back in the club. Yeah. Depends on what they do with it. Are they going to invest it back in the club?
Huge amounts of money,
yeah,
though. Huge amount. I mean, looking at also the points total of Man City, 198 points in two seasons. They only dropped 30 points.
Just,
I mean,
ridiculous.
That is phenomenal.
It's ridiculous.
Should we be worried about the competition, though? Because you talked about the competition, but the truth is Liverpool and Man City have been so far ahead.
Yeah.
Liverpool are 25 points clear of Chelsea in third place.
Yeah.
And Manchester United, who finished sixth on 66, are closer to Cardiff, who went down.
Yeah.
They're the same number of points away from Cardiff, who went down, as they are from Manchester City, who won the title. Is that not a worry in terms of competitiveness in the league?
I think because this season was so competitive in terms of the top two, this season in the moment, no. But if next season those two break away really early, because that's going to be the worry. If those two break away, because if you consider there was a period where if Spurs had beat Burnley, it was in their hands whether they could win it or not. So, you know...
Yeah.
There was another team that could have done it. Now, there's myriad of reasons why Spurs couldn't have done it, and we know all of them. What you're hoping is Chelsea, hopefully, I'll say they'll be stronger. I don't know. It depends on if this ban is upheld.
Well, they're losing Eden Hazard. That's not going to make them stronger.
No, it's not.
15 assists and 16 goals.
But it may. I mean, I think sometimes when you lose one, you look at Liverpool with Coutinho, other people stepped up. Spurs need to strengthen. Arsenal need to strengthen. Well, I'm not even going to talk about Man United, because they are in deep trouble.
Well,
at the moment.
We'll do a separate bit about Manchester United, because they are in deep trouble at the moment.
Wolves, I wouldn't discount Wolves. I mean, because if they spend again,
not from catching. No, we're talking about catching Man City and Liverpool.
I'm looking at Man City and Liverpool and thinking, Spurs are going to be the only ones, because Chelsea aren't going to be any stronger. If the ban is in place for Chelsea, they can't buy players.
Assuming Spurs buy some players.
Well, they'll have only to.
Well, we said that last year, didn't we?
Yeah, but they're in the Champions League final this time round. You know, they have to buy. But well, Arsenal hopefully. But I mean, you've spoken about Arsenal recently. If none of the others strengthen, then unfortunately you could see the breakaway between Man City and Liverpool happening earlier in the season.
Well, look, we know that these things are cyclical. We know that Arsenal and Man United were the best two teams in the country for years, yes, but they got pulled back in and finished fifth and sixth this year. excuse me, we know Chelsea were very good for a few years. But these things all happen in cycles.
Right.
But there's no doubt that Man City have the means and the desire to stay at the top for quite a few years to come. Whether Liverpool do, I think they have the desire. Whether they can keep pace. The only thing that is in Liverpool's favour is it's a young team. That defence could be together for the next 10 years.
I look at Liverpool, and this season I think they thought they could win. I think now they know they can win. So it's a different type of mentality. They'll go into games now knowing that they can win, fully 100% confident that they can win this title.
Can they be any better? Can they actually be any better, Liverpool?
Yeah, I think they can. I think they can. I think they can. I think they can score more goals from midfield. I think they can. I think that...
I mean, they dropped 17 points. They dropped 17 points all season.
Scoring more goals from midfield. And also, I think having a better bench... They've got fortunate with Origi and people like that. Sturridge hasn't done it. Need one midfielders. They just need more bodies.
The Ox will make a difference.
He'll make a huge difference.
Will make a difference to that team. He'll be the driving force in the centre.
This is Love Sport.
Liverpool's bid for a first Premier League title and the first top flight triumph in 29 years ended in failure despite a final day victory over Wolves. And joining us now is the former Liverpool defender, Nick Tanner. Morning, Nick.
Good morning, guys. I still got on now. You keep using that thing. I'm still one of the only players to have won the Premiership or whatever it's called now, the old time. So I played in the last winning team. I thought that'd be over after yesterday, but luck didn't, you know, fall our way.
Well, did you think? Because I mean, it's interesting because I've read out this inline and it says failure, and I don't think that was a failure the what Liverpool did this so far this season. By the way, there's one more game to go. I think it was an unbelievable performance, and as Klopp says, it's part of the journey, isn't it?
Yeah, and if they call that a failure, I think there's only one ex-player I've seen who's actually said that it's nobody remembers second, because everybody remembered this season because it has been such a, you know, brilliant finish to it and two brilliant teams. And what we want to see now, our progression year after year since Jurgen's been there, is to go again next year. And can Man City do it again for a third year? That's the thing. And then, you know, with the team yesterday, we could all pick the team. They looked tired and they looked, you know, shattered, half of them, but they got through and people forget they won the game 2-0, but it just seems as though they've done so well this season to get where they are. But they've still got something to go for, and I think that's the shining light of all of it. But Klopp's done a magnificent job, and, you know, when you look at the squad he's got, like I said only many a time, he's the nearest thing to Shankly the club have had. So
yeah.
I just hope everybody looks at it as, well, you can't, it's not a failure. It's just that they're up against a unmovable, you know, force in the end, and you didn't expect Man City to lose. I didn't anyway, and you know, it's such a brilliant team they are, aren't they? Full of internationals. And they got the job done quite easily in the end. It's just, no, I don't think anybody realistically could see them losing it or dropping any points at Brighton. That's the problem. And Liverpool are relying on them. So it's been a fantastic season so far.
Well, I didn't think either team would lose because the last 7, 8, 10, 12 games, they haven't. So nothing informed me that they would lose. But for Liverpool, you know, 25 points off last season. So you cannot say they have not had a magnificent season, and there's another game to go. And you look at, I mean, we were saying here, look at their two fullbacks. You know, the you know, we always talk about the three up front, but look at the two fullbacks, the assists they've made. It's a young side as well. So this side only needs one or two additions to the squad and things like that. And they will be able to, if they keep this band together, I think they will be able to compete for the next 2, 3, 4 years, without a doubt.
Yeah, that's the thing. I mean, Jurgen was chatting after the game yesterday. He got Rhian Brewster to come, and he was saying most of the squad is going to be there. And like I've said on here before, is he trusts those guys implicitly. And if you get, you know, Lallana, if he ever gets fit, you know, Ox is coming back, so there's another one. Joe Gomez has got to come in. There's three England internationals that come in there. Rhian Brewster's a good young player as well. So they've got it all there. It's the, you know, can they keep everybody fit, or can they get these players fit? Because if they do, you know, Daniel Sturridge and people that will probably have to leave the club now, which will be good for them as well. But the younger ones are coming through. There are some good young players at Liverpool. They won the youth cup as well, so they're doing really well. And I think they just bring some players through, and it's, you know, that's what we want to see in it. You know, entertaining team, like you said, the young fullbacks, unbelievable. They had a competition. What did they get? 13? I think Trent got 2 yesterday, so that makes it, I think he had 14 or 15 assists, which is unbelievable, isn't it? The goalkeeper won the Golden Glove. The two strikers won the Golden Boot. And they still can't win the Premiership. So that just proves how good Man City were. And, you know, they're not getting as much credit as they deserve, Man City. I think they deserve massive credit for what they've done. And I think everybody's just focusing on Liverpool. Great name, but Man City have had an unbelievable season. So fair play to them.
And moving forward, like you say, you've got to strengthen maybe in the centre of midfield a little bit. But can they be much better than they were, Liverpool? I mean, 97 points, only one defeat. It's difficult to know where you go.
Yeah, well, it is. And the thing is, they said again after the game, and Klopp said, if they would have beaten Man, they had to do one job at Man City to get points off Man City. You can't rely on other teams to do it. And they actually dropped, I think they got 1 point off of Man City, which isn't good enough. So next season, there's something to aim for straight away. We've got to beat Man City. We've got to do it ourselves if we're expecting to win the title. And then, like you said, I can't see who's going to beat them. I look at it now and I think, who's going to beat them? Because they are that good. Whether Spurs and that can get better. Man United just got to completely start again. I heard what you were saying, Herrera, they get taking selfies and stuff. I mean, they got beat yesterday. I mean, come on.
Yeah.
They got beat by Cardiff on the last game of the season. You know, a lot of my friends are Man United supporters and that. And you think, you know, letting Mourinho go, whether people like it or not, he should have been able to have stuck with the club and got rid of all those players somehow, because it's only happened to Ole Gunnar Solskjaer. A lovely bloke comes in, they start playing, and then they go back to type again, and it's just pathetic. I mean, yesterday, getting beaten by Cardiff is embarrassing, isn't it? Let's be honest.
All right. I mean, Nick, it's nice chatting to you. The Champions League before you go. I mean, your favourites for the Champions League. That would be a fitting end to the season, wouldn't it, for Liverpool?
Yeah, and we're going to perform. And like you said before, we're going to perform. We know what we're giving. We're giving 8 out of 10 every week we play. So whether Spurs can come up to that, I mean, the two games were very tight. I did the first game at Wembley and it was quite tight until Liverpool got into it and then beat them there. And then the second game, again, it was the last minute we scored, I think. But they're both tight games. It's whether Spurs can lift their game. I think Liverpool are going to do exactly the same as they always do. We know where they're going to play, but nobody can seem to stop them. Salah was quiet yesterday, so but again, he was top scorer. So if we get Firmino back as well, we know roughly what team is going to be. So keep everyone fit. It'd be great if both teams have got fully fit players. Harry Kane maybe be on the bench or something, they're on about. So if both teams, it's just brilliant for English football, isn't it? And Arsenal and obviously Chelsea are in the Europa League final.
Yes,
so.
Yes, very, very positive. And one more thing before you go, Nick. We've been doing 3-word summaries of seasons, and we're just wondering what you would say about Liverpool in 3 words.
Jurgen Klopp's great. I can't think of anything else to say. He's just magnificent. I just think
that'll
Bill Shankly's double.
Yeah. And I mean, that's what people have been saying. Thanks, Nick. Nice to speak to you.
Good, guys. I'll speak to you nearer the European games, hopefully.
I imagine so. Nice to speak to you, Nick Tanner there. Former Liverpool title winner, by the way. Let's not forget the last time Liverpool won the title. We're getting to a few other 3-word summaries. Fulham. Well, we're getting a few Fulham. Very, very poor. Yes, fair enough. And also, Jokanović, Ranieri relegated. Liverpool off to Madrid. I mean, you know what? I could do Arsenal, but the truth is, Arsenal's still got Mustafi. He's actually not a bad one. But we'll see if we can top that. I'm sure we can. Paris has come back into the room. We're talking more Premier League here.
I'm quite happy you think that's not a bad one.
It's not a bad one at all. But it was 3 words. That was the start, right? Right. Numerically correct.
Yeah, okay. I was just too much. I thought I'd come in.
So you got slightly gloaty there. I thought,
you're probably back down to earth. Can't have that.
Down he goes.
Down at the ankles. Ankle tapped, face plant. Into the next story. A couple of papers running with a few things like alternative Premier League tables.
Based on what?
Just different things. So the different stats. So you've got a team with the most starting 11 changes.
Looks. I think we should do one on looks.
West Ham automatically at the bottom because their striker had orange hair.
Yeah,
is what we're saying.
What were you talking about there?
Well, team that made the most changes to their starting 11 through the season.
Fulham.
No. Nearer the top.
Nearer the top.
Nearer the top.
Manchester
Chelsea.
United.
Manchester United made 131 changes.
they were looking for, they were trying different things when they got this gigantic squad of rubbish, and they go, well, let's just try that one with that one.
Chelsea would probably be the substitutions, wouldn't it?
Chelsea's, most substitutes. Chelsea in the bottom half of the table. So Man United, Spurs, Arsenal, your top three. Ooh. Down the bottom.
Well, they've got big squads, haven't they? That's it. They've got big enough squads that they can rotate a little bit. And also, of course, the European games to deal with. Right. So,
All right, finding excuses. Excuses.
I wouldn't say excuses.
It's the truth.
I would say excuses. I would say reasons is what I would say.
But it's the truth. You have big squads.
Yeah. Rotate.
Bottom three is Crystal Palace, Wolves, and bottom of the table, Burnley, who only made 49 changes to their starting 11.
Yeah, he doesn't like to change his team.
He doesn't have many options. And Wolves, by the way, nine of that starting 11 that played at the weekend played 32 games or more in the Premier League. I mean, that is consistency. And by the way, both those teams did pretty well.
And if you look at Wolves, they said something about they've had the fewest injuries. I think the players have only missed a handful of games. It's only been half a dozen players injured.
It's
incredible.
Impressive.
What he does in prevention of injury is incredible down there.
Yeah, he's done very well. But go on. Sorry,
well, Paris. Wolves and Burnley, the two teams, also top of the table you don't really want to be top of, which is most own goals. Both teams scoring four own goals this season.
Wolves and Burnley?
Wolves
That'd
and Burnley.
That'd be Ben Mee, wouldn't it?
I think Burnley is Ben Mee is probably responsible for at least three of those, if not all.
Doherty's got a couple for Wolves.
Doherty's got a couple for Wolves.
Yeah.
Now, some individual awards. Player with the worst pass accuracy, Patterson at Cardiff with 48.28.
I mean, to be fair, you would expect a forward to be in there because forwards are trying things which are slightly more difficult.
Yeah, fewest passes also goes to a forward. Andre Gray at Watford, 236. Most fouled player.
It was Wilf, isn't it?
No, he's in the top three. Hazard is the top. By two.
Bernardo
104
Silva.
Fouls. No, so you've got James Maddison third with 78. Wilf Zaha, 102. And Eden Hazard, 104. He was fouled. Yeah. Most penalties, one.
Zaha.
Zaha was six.
Was it six?
Salah, five. Callum Wilson and Danny Ings tied for third.
Salah, five.
Three.
How many of them were legit? Just asking the question.
Just ask the question. I refuse to comment on this time. Most
Are
saves.
You telling me he hasn't gone over too easy?
Oh, loads of times. Yeah. Loads of times.
Nothing to do with being a fan.
Absolutely.
Just having eyes,
You're
mate.
Just a fan.
Go on.
Most saves.
Most saves.
Most saves this Premier League season.
Well, it's interesting, isn't it? Because the goalkeeper, the Alisson and Edison are not going to be in this
game.
De Gea's got to be there.
De Gea's not in the top three.
Is it Heaton?
Leno. No. I think Leno might be up there.
Not up there.
Who?
Fabianski's at the top with 149 saves.
He had a great season, Fabianski. He had a really great season, and I'm pleased for him. Yeah. I mean, we used to watch him at Arsenal called him Flappy Hansky. Right,
you and Arsenal fans are cruel, you know.
No,
you're
not,
cruel.
We're not.
You've got names for everyone.
Well, you know, because we've seen a lot, you know. But Fabianski.
Yeah. Top. Neil Etheridge second with 141 saves.
He did well.
Yeah.
And third, Ben Foster of Watford with 127.
Okay.
So yes.
Busy keepers.
Yes. And listen, there were more goals in this season than this is the most goals this of any season in the Premier League, isn't it? I believe. I think there's quite a lot of goals this season. You haven't got that in front of you.
The art of defending has disappeared.
Well, it has. It absolutely has, which is why Virgil van Dijk, who, by the way, is an excellent defender, but I don't think he's any better than Alan Hansen. I don't think he's any better than some of the defenders. I think he's better than Tony Adams or John Terry, actually. I genuinely don't, but it's just because he's turned up and we've gone, oh, he's good.
He's probably a better athlete than them all.
They're all better athletes. Say. Every player who's playing now is a better athlete than any of the players who played 20, 30 years ago.
The game is quicker.
But if you're asking me whether John Terry would have lost Luis Suarez for that goal that Barcelona scored in the first leg, I'm not sure he would. Nor would Tony Adams.
John Terry wouldn't have been on the pitch. He probably would have needed someone in the back and been sent off.
You've got to let that go, you know.
Well, we won the Champions League anyway. So anyway.
Oh, Jesus. Is that a dig at you, Stone? It can't be a dig at me. I'm a QPR.
Only London team to do it until Spurs do it, potentially, on the June 1st.
He's got you again.
I'm not even getting involved in this conversation. What else you got?
Player with the most offsides.
Do you know what?
I know this one too.
Player with the most offsides.
Caught offside the most time this season.
I know this one.
I don't know who it is.
Third place, Jamie Vardy of Leicester. Yeah. 37 times he was caught offside.
I mean, that's only once a game. It isn't that
Would have
much,
been Charlie Austin if he was fit, but it's not him.
Second place, with once a game, 38, Glenn Murray of Brighton.
Yeah. Right.
And the dubious.
That's just purely because he hasn't got the energy to run back in time. That's all that is.
And the dubious award of most offsides, with 53 offsides, Chris Wood of Burnley.
Oh, no. You know what? Oddly enough, I watched a Burnley game a few weeks ago. I can't remember who they were playing. And he was caught offside four or five times. And I thought, my God. Mm. But he just tries to play off the shoulder, doesn't he?
Gamble. Gamble. Because you see, from all them, if he gets one right, he's in.
Yeah.
He'll play for that. Yeah.
Okay.
And a slightly interesting stat is minutes by English players. Top of that table is Burnley.
And we're looking. This is not a surprise.
Yeah. Not necessarily a surprise, but that's 26,397 minutes. The maths I'd have to sort out. Mm. But then I'm going down. The first time we hit a top six team, it's Man United, and they are seventh in that list. Mm. Then you hit Spurs, and then hitting down the bottom is when we start hitting Man City, Liverpool. Bottom two are Chelsea and Arsenal.
Yeah, that one doesn't surprise me. We were going through the fact that Chelsea and Arsenal play in the Europa League, and how's that going to affect England? Well, not that much. I mean, Loftus-Cheek would play for England in the Nations League. No one at Arsenal at all. No one.
That's incredible.
At all. Man City and Liverpool and Spurs have got the best English players. Yeah. And it's really good English talent now. Mm. And they're doing very, very well. But English talent is expensive, isn't it? It's expensive. Yeah. Or you have to go a bit lower down the leagues. And then it works. Burnley are top, though, right?
Burnley are top. Bournemouth and Leicester make up the top three.
Right.
This is Love Sport.
Man City came from behind to claim a 4-1 victory over Brighton at the Amex yesterday and beat Liverpool to the title by 1 point. Joining us now, former City and England defender and friend of the show, Steve Howie. Good morning, Steve.
Morning, guys. How are you doing?
Morning. Yeah, doing fine. When Glenn Murray put Brighton 1-0 up, there was a little... What were you thinking? I was sitting there with my son thinking, oh, football, man, surely not. Surely not. Well, how were you feeling at that point?
Well, I think given the amount of time that was left, I think you look at Manchester City and feel as though at any time, given the players that they have got, they will create some sort of chance. And of course, when you've got the weapons in what Manchester City have up front, you always thought that there was still going to be a chance for them to nick one back. But, I mean, obviously, you're a little bit nervous. But at the same time, they kind of ran out comfortable winners in the end.
Yeah, they did. I guess it was the time, wasn't it? I guess because I tended to think if Brighton held on to that lead till half time and maybe 10, 15 minutes into the second half and news has come through that Liverpool are winning, then the nerves start to kick in, don't they? And they're overreaching a little bit.
Well, they do, yeah. But, I mean, ultimately, unfortunately for Brighton, that didn't happen. I think it was something like 80-something seconds that the Aguero scored. And it was a perfect response. And I think after that, then nerves just tend to settle a little bit. And then when you've got, accomplished and experienced players like Manchester City have, they've got old heads there that's just like, look, calm down. We've got this. Just, bide our time. Don't be doing anything silly. And obviously they did that.
Steve, what sets this Man City team apart? They've won 14 successive, 32 league games in all. The way that they have played under pressure, because from the turn of the year, every single game on all fronts is a must win. And they've managed to get across the line. I mean, the pressure must have been intense. How have they dealt with it so well?
In all fairness, Manchester City now is kind of a juggernaut, really. It's just difficult to stop. Obviously, they're disappointed not to progress further in the Champions League. But of course, it is difficult because, when you see Liverpool winning, you think, wow, we need a win today. And I think the big game for me was just recently was Leicester. Leicester were very, very difficult to break down, and it took a wonder goal from Vincent Kompany to turn that game around. But they've managed just to grind it out. 14 wins in the last 14 games is just ridiculous. I think credit's obviously got to go to Liverpool as well. I think Liverpool have been absolutely amazing this season. And push them all away. But for Manchester City to accumulate something like 198 points in two seasons, that's just ridiculous.
Out of 228, they only dropped 30 points in two seasons. It's bonkers, really. Word from Vincent Kompany, we saw him come off yesterday with a few minutes to go. An enormous round of applause from the whole ground. And I think all football fans feel similarly about Vincent Kompany. Even Man United fans would probably do that for him. As a fellow defender, what's his legacy for the club?
Well, he's just a born leader. I mean, not only is he a fantastic player, but he's a born leader. And he obviously leads the boys on the pitch and off the pitch as well. And I think justifiably got the standing ovation he deserves. I think there's a possible chance of him signing a year extension, but obviously that's up to Vincent. But without a doubt, I mean, I know words get banded around about legends yeah. and all this kind of thing, but that guy
in
is
his
a fantastic
case.
Player and he is a legend. Yeah.
And Steve, I mean, Guardiola said, you know, this team can get better. I mean, it's ominous for the rest of us. How much better can they get? Are we talking about a Juventus where they've won the Scudetto 8 years on the bounce, or would that be far too much to ask from this Man City side?
Look, they'll always strengthen. I mean, Guardiola seems a person where it's always right to the next thing, to the yeah. next thing, and always trying to improve your squad. I think obviously Liverpool pushed them so close this season. They'll get better. I don't think, you know, obviously Man United need a complete clear out. Whether they can challenge again in the next couple of seasons remains to be seen. But I think all the other teams as well, you know, your Chelsea's, your Arsenal's, your Tottenham's, I think they'll hopefully strengthen to make it a more difficult challenge for Manchester City. But don't get me wrong, I mean, it was an unbelievable challenge for them this year against Liverpool. But I think the other teams might, well, they have to step it up, because if they don't step it up, it's basically just going to be the two teams that's fighting for this title.
And a word on Newcastle as well. I mean, it all sort of finished quite nicely, 4-0 win away at Fulham, but it's really all about Rafa now. I mean, what's your feeling about whether he'll stay or not?
It's a difficult one, really. I mean, I think the manager wants to stop. I think, as he said in his interview, he realises and he understands the potential of a huge club, which it is, and the fan base is absolutely amazing as well. I mean, I'm just a little bit perplexed, really, about the fact that it hasn't been sorted. And you just tend to think, well, you know, what do you want, Mr. Ashley? You know, he can't do any more. I mean, the budget that he's had and the finishes that they've had in the last couple of seasons has been absolutely phenomenal. And I think the players, as well as the manager, take massive, you know, respect for that. But it just needs to, you know, sit them down and basically sort of say to them, what do you want? And I don't think he's asking for fortunes for transfer budgets. But in all fairness, he has to be able to compete. And unfortunately, over the last couple of seasons, or for certainly since he's been there, we haven't done that.
When you're saying he's not asking for fortunes, he still wants 50 million quid or something like that, which is a fortune. And I suppose Mike Ashley just doesn't want to spend the money. That certainly seems to be the way. But this can't all hold for another season or two, can it?
Well, it can't. But I mean, you're talking about 50 million, and that 50 million would probably be on about five or six players.
Yeah.
And yet other clubs can go out, and that's on one. But, you know, I think, you know, the shrewd buy-ins that he has done, I mean, Dubravka didn't cost that much, Shaw didn't cost that 3 point something. I think Perez, who's been an unbelievable form, was something like 1.3
yes.
million.
Yeah.
You know, it does do very, very well in the transfer market. But, you know, since his interview, Mr. Ashley's interview on TV, and he sort of said, you know, we're competing with countries. Well, yeah, we can understand True. Your Manchester City and possibly, you know, your Liverpools and Manchester United and stuff like that. But we're not asking. The manager's not asking. The fans are not asking to compete with them. We're asking to compete with the rest. And unfortunately, we haven't been able to do that.
Thanks, Steve. Nice to speak to you.
Cheers, Steve.
See you soon.
Pleasure.
Steve, Howie there, the former Man City and Newcastle and England defender. That's the point, isn't it, really? They are... I know what he's saying, Mike Ashley, that they are competing with their country, in particularly in, you know, Abu Dhabi in terms of Man City and all the rest of it. But it's even a club like Wolves, the amount of money Wolves yeah. spent last season to keep things going. Newcastle have to put a significant amount of money into that team to get them up to that level.
Well, but Brighton spent 50 million. You know,
Huddersfield spent money. Fulham spent 100 million.
So when he says that the they're competing with small countries. No, he's not, because he's not in the top five or six. So
no.
Put that one to one side. That is, I think that's a poor excuse to
yeah,
make,
yeah.
to be truthful honest. You aren't putting any money into your club. Don't talk about other clubs. Let's focus on you. You are not giving a top quality manager the opportunity to be successful.
And he is a top quality manager
top,
as well.
Top manager.
To get this group of players to where he did. I mean, they finished in the top half. No, they didn't finish in the top half, but they were just below Palace. You know, and they only finished, actually, I'm looking at it, they only finished 5 points below Watford.
Yeah.
Which, when you think about where Newcastle were...
They were below the line at one point.
And the start that they had, yeah, and how he's pulled them out of that, their recent form. And you know what? Like I say, I look at the Premier League income for Newcastle, £117 million. They must be able to find some of that to spend on a few players.
The problem that I have for someone like Benitez is, and some of the top players at Newcastle, is another season like the last one. Wow. Ultimately, it's no fun. It's no fun for the fans.
No.
It's no fun for the players.
That's what I'm getting from my Newcastle mates. It's like the same thing over and over again. That's why Arsenal got... That's why Arsenal got bored with Arsene Wenger.
Yeah.
You know, the same thing over and over again. One more thing, by the way, on a completely unrelated topic, while I remember it. Barcelona played Getafe yesterday, right? For basically a game that is done. It's done. Mm. And it was only half full. The new camp, right?
Yeah.
But they've won the title, but they're so gutted about what happened with Liverpool that they didn't turn up. But I just thought to myself, really? How fickle and entitled are you that a team that have won the league, I know they got beaten by Liverpool, but that they will come to understand that going to Anfield on a European night in a semi-final, you're up against a force of nature, right? There's something more going on.
Not when you're 3-0 up, you see, because what they'll look at is, hold on, we're bigger and better than Liverpool. That shouldn't matter. We're Barcelona. That shouldn't matter. Barcelona come into town 3-0 up. They should not be coming away from that empty
handed. And this is the second time in a row. I see all
that. Second year running.
But you know what? I still think the fans should be turning up.
By definition, you're there to support. Thick or thin, you should be there.
And it's hardly thin. They've won the treble, haven't they, in Spain?
It's not enough.
It's not enough. Half of the fans, they played in a half-empty Newcastle.
Not enough.
The greatest player of all time is playing for your team. I don't know. I think that's an issue.
You spoke about entitlement a little while ago from fans. You spoke about that, and possibly that's the case. Because they've had so much success, when failure does come, they don't want to be a part of it, mate. They don't want to watch it.
Yeah, okay. I don't know. I was slightly appalled by that when I read that this morning.
Love Sport.
For those three-word season summaries, Millwall, we stayed up. They did. It was a bit tight, but they stayed up in the end. Chelsea, Jorginho Sarri out. Blimey. I mean, it's very personal, isn't it? My Chelsea mate, it's Simon, he may be listening. Hello, mate, if you are. He complained. He's complained bitterly about this season, right? Pretty much through the season.
Yeah.
Chelsea, by the way, and Paris is coming as well. We can talk about this. Chelsea, who got to a League Cup final, Carabao Cup final, are currently in the Europa League final and could end up with a European trophy, although they won't. And finished third. But apparently, that's not enough. And I said it to my son yesterday, who said, well, it's entitled Chelsea fans, isn't it? That's what that is. And I think there is something in that. Paris, what is your views on... I mean, you understand the point I'm making, and this is not having a dig.
It's a great season. I mean, well, apparently not. Last year, apparently it's a great season.
Yeah, I think the problem is you have a manager who's not treated certain players very well, in our opinion.
Who's he not treated well?
Well, you look at how he treated Hudson-Odoi. We weren't happy with that. It's a young player. Like, even whether Sarri's in the right, Chelsea fans felt he should have been playing earlier.
Yeah.
Considering that Pedro and Willian have gone... Downhill's too strong a word. They're not as impressive as they were. Also, towards the end... We remembered what he's kind of sidelined Gary Cahill entirely, which is a bit weird considering, you know, he's saying...
No, it's not. Ultimately, he watches Gary Cahill in training every day. Right? He will notice the decline. So he may well be saying devil's advocate. He may well be saying he's not for me. For what I want, he's not for me. Yeah. That happens all the time.
It might happen all the time, but generally, managers will tell the player, will say something to them, say, look, you know... Appreciate what you've done. You're club captain, but you're not in my mind.
He hasn't spoken to Gary Cahill.
I'll be honest with you. Gary Cahill won't be surprised by that. Football is not about words. It's about signs and actions. Because the manager, to your face, can say, yeah, you're great, you're fine. But the way he treats you, that is what tells you where you are. Don't worry about what he says, because he can say what he wants. It's how he acts.
Anyway, it's sort of interesting when you because you can list what Chelsea have achieved this season. They finished third behind two of the best teams that ever played in the Premier League. They finished above Tottenham, by the way, who've had an amazing season apparently.
And if you consider the start, there was a different manager taking pre-season. At
and
the
you've
start.
Had one player. One player has basically done that.
At the start, we were top of the league.
You started pretty well, but everyone fell away for one reason or another. Now, what else have you got?
Well, I was wondering if you've ever had to get your children to give you a lift anywhere. Have you felt, maybe can't drive home or...
My youngest is currently learning to drive and he's got a driving instructor. And he also, by the way, my missus takes him out once in a while. I can't do it. I just don't think that would work.
Yeah, it's not a good idea.
But he's learning to drive at the moment. And hopefully at some point fairly soon he'll pass his test. And then I can, drink heavily can drive me home.
It's not a good idea. When I was taking my lessons... Had a one lesson with the driving instructor, taught me the way to drive. My dad took me out. This is the second time ever in a car, an old Vauxhall Victor. It was huge. Yeah. The seat was busted, so it was pushed right forward. My knees around my ears. The steering wheel, the gear sticks behind me. Takes me around Shepherd's Bush roundabout and Hammersmith. First time. I've never been as frightened. He says to me, I've got to behave a certain way. I say to him, no, the instructor says this. I get home, speak to my mum about it. My mum doesn't speak to me for a month because she says, you're taking the instructor who I've paid, who's a professional, you're taking his word over your dad's. Your dad is always right. Even before the instructor, they are paying to teach me. Wouldn't speak to me for a month.
Wow, that is strict.
I'm telling you. So I have never taken my kids out.
Yeah.
I won't do it. I'll pay for them to have someone else do it. I'm not doing
it. We used to drive. Sorry, I know we're getting off the subject here, but we used to drive some terrible cars. I mean, he's driven the Vauxhall Victor. I had this Ford Escort. Rubbish old Ford Escort. It was orange, right? But I used to say it was sunset red. And my missus goes, orange. Creative. It's orange. And the gear stick came out in my hand once on a roundabout, right? And it just came out. I went to change down. And the gear stick, and I'm suddenly holding the gear stick. But the thing is, you can shove it back in. So I just shoved it back in and managed to get it round. I thought, this is ridiculous. I shouldn't
Brilliant.
Be driving this.
Extreme driving.
Anyway.
Well, you're driving those cars. Brooklyn Beckham is driving a £70,000 Land Rover, which he used to pick up his dad from Wembley yesterday.
Why not? Loaded, doesn't matter.
David is not allowed to drive.
His dad's been banned for 6 months?
Banned for 6 months. So he had to be picked up from Wembley by his son after, of course, Salford City, now making it into the Football League.
It's all relative.
If I get banned, that's another reason they can, if something happens.
You can drive more hazardously.
I can drive in it. Yeah, I can use my phone. I might do some texting on the way home, knowing that my son's almost going to pass his test.
Live tweeting your drive home.
That's what I'll do.
This is Love Sport.
Not that I want to put you in a bad mood, Mortz, but what do you think of this? I'm reading a story about Danny Baker.
Yeah,
is on tour at the moment.
Yeah,
and he walked on stage at Nottingham Theatre Royal, got a standing ovation. Now, let's be fair, right? This is Danny Baker fans. These are people who love him and who will forgive him for what he said.
Yeah,
he did address the elephant in the room at the start of the show. He described his tweet about the Duke and Duchess of Sussex baby as revolting and misjudged, and he denied being a racist. And I think a lot of people think, he might have done a racist tweet because it was, a stupid joke that went horribly wrong. But it doesn't seem. I think we'd know if Danny Baker was a racist. 40 years. Do you know what I mean?
Yes, I do.
Nothing else has come out which would suggest that he's like that.
He's capable of racist behaviour, though. That's what the tweet tells you.
He is. He got a standing ovation. Now, obviously, they weren't giving him a standing ovation for the tweet.
But they were supporting.
But they were being supportive. Yeah. These are fans, by the way. These are people who've paid to come and see him. I mean, what do you think of that, first of all?
It's not a surprise. They've paid to watch him. They can have their opinion. That's not a problem at all. The facts are there that what he's done is incorrect. What he's done is offensive. For me, like I said to you before, Stoney, it's not what he's done. It's how he owns it after that is always impressive for me. And his initial response scared me.
Wasn't great. Although he then did a very, very long thread.
Yeah, because he then had time to think about what he'd actually responded and thought, oh, that's even worse. I've got to try and get it right.
Yeah, we'll come back to that. We'll have more of a chat about that. Meanwhile, in the Grand Prix yesterday, Lewis Hamilton led Valtteri Bottas to the fifth consecutive Mercedes 1-2. At the start of the Formula One season, since the start of the Formula One season. Joining us to discuss everything after yesterday's race in Barcelona is Rob Sinfield from Grand Prix Diary. Morning, Rob.
Morning, babe.
Morning. I mean, this is getting a bit too much of a procession now, isn't it, for Mercedes?
Oh, it is difficult. Frequently, well, over the years, I've always defended F1 and tried to get people into it. And in the pub, people say, well, it's a bit boring. And, well, you know, what can I say? Yesterday's race was beyond abysmal, unless you were specifically a Mercedes or Lewis Hamilton fan. It was just 2 hours of nothing.
I've got to ask, Rob, are the other cars that inferior? Because from what I read, Ferrari was supposed to have a fantastic car this season, really competitive, and then they upgrade their engine really early. It appears like blind panic for me because Mercedes are doing so well. What does this mean for the sport? I mean, the other cars have got to step up, haven't they?
They have. The performance gap is just astonishing. So Ferrari, yes, they introduced a new engine in Spain, a circuit where engine performance doesn't really make much difference. So, you know, that is a sign of panic. We've got to do something. Mercedes, they bring along their own upgrades. So really, nothing changes. I was looking at the standings this morning. I mean, the gap between Mercedes and the rest is astonishing. You look at McLaren, for example, they're making big noises, shouting, happy, woohoo, we're fourth in the constructors' standings. They're on 22 points, having achieved that. Mercedes are on 217.
Yeah.
It's a different league. It's like Premier League football versus conference. It's just entirely different.
Well, Rob, I was going to ask you about that. We talk about the Premier League quite a bit. Obviously, it finished yesterday. Man City and Liverpool way ahead of the rest. Quite often, with the way it works in the Premier League, is about money spent. You know, that the league table really is analogous to how much money you spent. But is it the same in Formula One?
I think it's more how you spend it. Sure, Mercedes have a pretty huge budget, but Ferrari have a massive budget. Wow. Red Bull Racing aren't short of a pound or two. McLaren have a huge budget, but they just don't perform. And I think what happens with Formula One, possibly like football, is that one team, you know, for a period of years will get into the habit of winning. They invest properly in the right players and drivers, and everything everybody else does, they're always going to be a couple of steps behind. And I think this year is done and dusted. It depresses me to say so, but what, 5 races in, Mercedes will win the Constructors and Lewis or Valtteri Bottas will be driver's champion. And if I'm wrong on that, I'll come into the studio and eat my hat for you.
Well,
do you actually have a hat, Rob?
Do I have a hat?
Yes.
I have. It looks. It might be a bit on the chewy side, but yeah,
right.
I do have one.
Right, okay.
Don't worry, Rob. I'll bring the ketchup. Don't worry, my friend. I'm talking about the drivers. Hamilton, what I thought at the start of the season is it was going to be about the drivers, not about the cars. It was going to be about Hamilton and Bottas and Leclerc and Vettel. Hamilton and Bottas is interesting because before the race, I saw Lewis Hamilton talking really positively about Bottas and the team and all that business. I'm sitting there thinking even he doesn't believe that. He wants to win. He wants to ground Bottas into the dirt. But is there going to be friction between these two? Because if Bottas wins the next one, will the lead keep changing? A little bit like Man City Liverpool in the Premier League, where the lead is changing. Will team orders come into it if they're neck and neck?
I doubt that they'll need team orders because by the time the championship is due to be decided, they will be so far ahead of the opposition that Mercedes will get a driver's champion full stop. And I don't think they'll really care which one of them it's going to be. Bottas is a typical Finn. He's a very laid-back character. So I don't think you'll see the real animosity, and nastiness that developed between Rosberg and Hamilton. But as I say, I don't think we'll impose team orders because there'll be no need. They're not going to lose anything by doing that.
Well, no, but surely, I mean, as much as we want to see it as fans, we want to see the racing. You know, it doesn't. I mean, if Hamilton tries to go past Bottas to win the world title and they knock both of them out of that race, that's not what the team wants.
No, it won't be, because Mercedes, you know, they want to be on the back pages, victorious after every race. They don't want to see it. But I don't think these two will have that sort of problem that there has been in the past. They're just too far ahead of everybody else. Whether it comes down to the last race and there's a point in it, well, great, that gives us something to watch at last. But I still don't really sort of think we'll see the nastiness that was in that team before. I don't think either of them really want it, to be honest.
No. Rob, let's hope for a bit more excitement through the season. Nice to speak to you. It's Rob Sinfield there from Grand Prix Diary. Some more three-word season summaries. AFC Wimbledon, Wally's Barmy Army. I mean, it's all about Wally Downs. Yeah. Wally Downs Senior, really. Achievement. Outstanding. 10 points off when he came in and they got out. Man United, Ole's wheel broken. Yeah. Well, quite. I mean, it is. And as we've said on this show this morning, if they have a bad start to the season, six games in, then he may well be gone. And where do they go at that point? Because, Poch will cost even more to remove him from
he
Spurs.
He may well be dead man walking, Ollie, at some point.
Do you know what? Let's see how things progress at the start of the season. They certainly will be cheering on Man City in the FA Cup, because if they do not, do not want to be qualifying for the Europa League on the 26th or 27th of July, which I believe is the day they would have to play.
Not
which
with
is
some
also,
of their players
the way,
playing in the Champions League.
Well, also
the Nations League.
In the Nations League. Plus, they've got very lucrative games in America
and possibly
China, I'm not sure.
That's right.
Against Spurs in Chicago on that day. Watford, Wembley, of course they're going to the cup final, although their form is not outstanding. Yeah. But
happy Luther Blissett.
Well, of course, it'll be in tomorrow. We'll have a little chat. And West Ham, new carpet down, which was actually the follow-up to Black Hawk Down, the movie about the helicopter crash in Somalia. But it wasn't quite as successful. Love Sport. Thanks for listening to the Ian Stone Comedy Breakfast Podcast Edition. I'm back every weekday morning, 6:30.